Mitch, when Pekka came to North America in 2005, did you guys foresee him being, especially in Milwaukee, the number one right away? You had an experienced guy at this level in Brian Finley, a former first-round pick. Did you think Pekka was going to take over and do what he did that first year?
I'm not sure we expected it right away, but he was a guy that in the development camp before that, there were four prospects, four drafts that I can vividly remember being on the ice with, working them out, with Barry Trotz and a number of the staff standing right behind that net, right by the, you know, the practice locker room door there,
mm-hmm.
watching us. I could see them, they could see me, and I put the guys through the paces, the goalies, and then they were during practice, and I was going off the ice, and Barry Trotz met me right by the door. We looked at each other at exactly the same moment and said, "That's the one."
Wow.
About Pekka Rinne. Of the four, we both, and we think alike, obviously, he and I have worked together a long time, and we said at that moment, "That's the one." It's crazy, but it's true.
That's the first time I'm sure you saw him in person. Had you seen much of him on videotape? The story is legendary about how Jani Kekäläinen found him and you had to go to warm-ups to see him work and all of this stuff. Had you seen him at all before that?
I had gone prior to him coming over to Nashville. I had gone, I believe it was the lockout year. The okay. years run together
yeah.
for me.
But that would have been the year he was drafted, 04, yes, 04, 05,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. So I believe that I did go over to Finland and see him and spent a couple of days with him, stayed in Oulu, went to his little apartment, and we went to dinner, and I watched his three-a-day practice. They had a goalie practice. They had an off-ice practice. They had a team practice. I didn't go on the ice with him, but I had seen him. Now, we had already drafted him at that point.
Yes. One of your great attributes of many is the relationship you establish and develop with your goaltenders, and he seems to me to be one of the easier guys you can get to know and get to like.
Anybody who doesn't like Pekka Rinne, there's something wrong with them.
Right.
he is, I say this all the time, he is a great goalie and a better human.
Yeah.
And he is. And he was unbelievable from the beginning. I've been very lucky, though, in my pro career, which, by the way, is now 30 years of the National Hockey League.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
And a lot of guys that I've had an opportunity to work with, and I can count on less than one hand, a Family Guy hand. I think that's three fingers. guys that may not have been that cooperative. And Tex was great. Nothing but fond memories of him in the Milwaukee uniform.
How did he challenge you as a coach? When you say cooperative, I guess that kind of means that you told him to do something and he tried it. That's how I'm inferring it. But how did he challenge you as a coach?
You know, every goalie's style and the way they play and what they do and how they process is my challenge, because my goal is to know them better than they know them. And then I challenge them to know themselves better than I think I know them. So we play a little cat and mouse.
Okay.
But my biggest challenge is to know them better than they do, so I can contribute to their growth and development.
So is Pekka one who was fairly easy to read then, or no?
He I don't know if I understand the question.
Well, when you're trying to play that cat and mouse of you're trying to know him better than he knows himself. Is he one that it was pretty easy to get to know who he was right off the bat, or did it take some? Was it a struggle to find who the real competitor was in him?
No, because you see that. I mean, when you're in practice and you're in a game, the real goalie shows up. You know, you find out more about him that way.
Yeah.
And then he was a shy guy, so you have to get away from the rink in order to get to know the personal guy. That's why I love to go to the meals with the goalies and go, you know, out of the rink and in different settings. And you know, I met his family when they came in. And you know, that's when you start to build a relationship, you build trust. When you build trust, they let their walls down. A lot of athletes in general are not going to tell a coach in any sport what's bothering them or what their issues are, because they feel that it will negatively impact your perception of them.
Yeah.
And you have all this so-called power, and you've got to develop trust in order for those things to come out.
He became a leader rather quickly in Milwaukee. I mean, part of that is playing. I'm assuming overcoming shyness, but that second season in 06-07, I mean, I know he was a big reason that Ville Koistinen thrived in Milwaukee. I know the next year he was a big reason Andreas Thurisson thrived in Milwaukee. I mean, he really became a guy who took ownership and could have worn the C if we wanted him to.
Well, again, it comes down to relationships. I can remember coming into one training camp, and you know, I would come in and go home, and I'd come in and go home, and I remember coming back in during training camp, and normally I have a goalie dinner and I bring all the goalies to dinner and do something. I didn't have to. Pekka already did it because that's what he did, and so he was great at developing relationships with his teammates. And he was never, he may have been shy, but he was never guarded, you know?
Yeah.
And so he's just too easy to like.
One of the greatest, I don't know if testament would be the right word, but in his third season in North America, 07-08, I think those of us in Milwaukee felt we wouldn't see him again. He's going to be in Nashville. He has earned. He's played so well in Milwaukee. We'll have Dan Ellis here in Milwaukee. Training camp didn't work out that way, but Pekka, all he did was come down and dominate for 65 games in the regular season.
I was in the room when he was told. And I've been in the room when other players have been told things. And he was a pro. He was disappointed, but he was a pro. He took it. He went with it. He managed and controlled his emotions. And he went down, and he did what he did best. He loved to play.
Yeah.
And he played. And, you know, when you look back on that, there's, it may have been the very, very best thing for him, because it gave him just that little bit of extra piece of seasoning that I think when he got to the NHL, being a little more ready, it is so difficult to tread water in the NHL.
Yeah.
You drown if you can't swim, because the players are so good. And I think that extra time, maybe that extra seasoning, helped him swim instead of treading, if that's an analogy
I can totally make. Totally makes so much sense. I know, and I think the quote has been attributed to Ron Hextall in the past, but something along the lines of, nobody gets worse playing another year in the American Hockey League.
And that's true. There's no question about that. The other thing, remembering back on all that, you know, there's I love the game of hockey. It is the greatest game in the world. But sometimes the business of hockey isn't as much fun as the game.
Right.
And I seem to remember that as one of those hockey decisions, but also business decisions because of the rules. There was waivers involved.
Yeah.
And Pekka did not need waivers, and Dan Ellis did.
Sure. Sure.
And sometimes, in the short run, the business of hockey, those decisions may supersede the game of hockey. And I think as though, when you look back, it worked out beautifully.
Did it ever. In closing, Mitch, when you think, and again, 30 years of coaching goaltenders in the National Hockey League and Hall of Famers and Vezina winners, and, I mean, you've had them all. I don't want to ask you to rank Pekka in that group, but when you think of Pekka Rinne as he closes his career, what are the a couple of things that come to mind?
Well, you know, you're right. I've had the pleasure of working with lots of guys, and everybody's different. Everybody's an individual, and I try not to compare them. Oh, who's your favorite? Who's your this? And
right.
Who's your that? Doesn't matter. It's like you have a family. And if you got five kids, you don't have a favorite kid.
Right.
You know, at least you shouldn't.
Right. Yeah.
And so, but what, when I look at the career that he had, the longevity, it's hard to play in the National Hockey League as a goaltender and have a consistency that he had for a long time. It's hard to have consistent years back-to-back, let alone seven or eight of them. With the major hip surgery that
yes.
he had, and, you know, that shoulder surgery he had in Milwaukee.
At the beginning of 06, 07, right?
That's correct. And I believe that he's a Hall of Famer. He's got a Vezina. He's got multiple Vezina nominees. His work in the community is well documented. He's got great numbers and up there in wins career-wise, shutouts. I would hope that he gets some consideration to get in the National Hockey League or to get into the Hockey Hall of Fame. It's not just the NHL, it's a worldwide Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yes, yes. It's great when you can work with good people, isn't it? With great people.
Well, this is a game of people, not a game of pucks. Everybody talks about it's a game of pucks and sticks. And no, it's a game of people. You manage people, you develop relationships, makes the game better, makes it way more enjoyable. It's where the memories come from.